Hi, everybody. This is Beth. Thanks for joining us tonight. I have Marita here, and I have Tama on their cell phone. We have a really busy night tonight and a lot to cover. So, Marita, I don't have the call-in phone number right in front of me. Can you help me with that at the top of the call, please?
Yes, if you want to, if you wish to call in to ask a question, make a comment, you will dial 415-762-1167. In case you didn't have your pencil ready, I'll do it one more time. 415-762-1161. And you call in and they will place you in queue. You won't miss any of the call. You'll be able to listen while you're waiting to have your question answered or to make a comment. So, Beth, back to you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you very much, Marita. I'd like to do hard news in a few minutes because Tar and Rama are driving in the car right now and they're getting set up with their computer. So we'll give them a few minutes break. I know everyone's excited to have a Mark update, so I'll start with that. And then there's some more news I want to share with you. And after that, we'll see if maybe they aren't set up. I would like to get started right away after hard news with twin flame questions and answers. And I think what we'll do is we'll have you call in right after the hard news if you have any questions on twin flames. Hold off on your questions about Avatar for now. And we'll start off, we're going to split it in half. So any questions you have about twin flames, call those in. And while I'm waiting for callers in between, I'll go over, I received about 65 or 70 questions about twin flames, and I'll read through those and explain them, and we can talk about, a lot of people have a lot of hard questions they're mulling over, and the Galactics are asking us to come together as a group very compassionately and talk about these things together so we can get through these old programs together and breakthrough into receiving love, because this will be the order of the day very soon, reuniting with our twin flames, and we need to all be thinking about that. Whatever it means to you is fine, but we all have to open our hearts and get to a place where we're very comfortable with whatever our decision is, and that's what I want to go over tonight. The second part of the call, we will start talking about avatars and what that all means. And I'm very excited about that. We'll have a second Q&A or a continued Q&A after that. First thing, I want to give you a Mark update, and then I'll fill you in on my news. What I can say about Mark is the update that we have is that he's doing fine. And we're expecting him home soon. We had that same update last time, I think. And some things happened that changed that, but it had nothing to do with Mark's health or anything like that. It's just that his time for coming home got put off a few days. There are several details that I'm leaving out. And so people are a little uncomfortable with that. And what I can say is, you know, Mark is my best friend, and I love him, and I respect him. And the details that I'm leaving out are personal family business. So, you know, you guys have been on the calls a long time, and you've heard Mark say a dozen times or more, well, I hope Beth doesn't mind if I say this right now, and he tells the most personal stuff about me without even mentioning ahead of time he's going to do that, and I'm always okay with it, but I hope everybody will understand that I'm pretty sure he's going to fill everyone in when he gets back, but for now, we're holding off on revealing anything that's his private business until he gets back, and so I hope you will understand that. Also know that I know you guys are frustrated about the whole situation, but, you know, just so that you know that me and Tara and Rama are maybe going through the worst of it as anybody, and we're just as much so as you are, but it will resolve, and we do have an update, a live update, and we know that he's fine. And the minute that we know something more than that, we will let you know. So thank you for your patience. And I know that many of you have known Mark much, much longer than I have. And many of you know him personally in New Mexico all the time. And I can tell you that he's fine and that he will be home soon. And that's the most I can say publicly right now. So don't worry. He will be back. I wanted to comment on something that happened this week that is regarding that. Back in July or maybe August, Mark and I, Mark was posting, making all his posts to his Yahoo group, and the ownership of the Yahoo group was someone besides Mark, and the ownership decided to shut the group down. With no notice to Mark. He sent an email to Mark and to me, and within a half hour he had shut down the group, and there was no time for a reply or anything else. And we didn't talk about that much, and the reason is we felt the less said the better. We would just start a new Yahoo group, and we did that. We had one started 2 hours later, and we went on from there. And most of you remember that time. So this past week I have been contacted by three different members of the leadership of the group that stayed behind, and they call themselves Share 11, and they're on the Yahoo group. And as recently as this week, I saw a posting on Share 11 criticizing me, and the people involved are the same ones that are involved in the Galactic Roundtable, and they belong to both groups. And so, It's no judgment on my part what people are reading or if they're reading both. That's their own prerogative. I'm not holding any judgment or any grudges. I want to remind you of the law of one. When one is harmed, all are harmed. When one is healed, all are healed. When you hear me being silent about certain details, it means I'm being compassionate for someone's privacy. I'm being compassionate so healing can take place. And so these ones criticizing me because more details aren't coming out, that's their prerogative. But I would, if anyone here that's listening is one of those in the group that's listening to both, that maybe isn't a wise thing to do just because for the sake of having right relationships inside yourself. The reason I'm saying this is because these three ones have emailed me this week out of the blue. I haven't heard from them since last summer. And one of them asked me to join a group, join our two groups together, and join together with another channel who's internationally known, and that we should do a big project together. And I declined. And the reason I declined is because that Share 11 group is still their thing. What I see from what gets forwarded to me is that they're not following the law of one, and I can't support that. And these three who emailed me were suggesting that we were all part of the same group. And I have to say, I don't agree with that. So, so that's the background of that story. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is because I have a confession to make. So they came to me with this idea that they wanted to do a piece. I don't remember all the details. They wanted to do something about peace. And I kind of said, well, I don't align myself with that group. I'm sorry I declined. Thank you anyway. That's where the idea came in for the meditation. So I have a little bit of egg on my face because I came up with that idea out of a competitive nature, not out of purity of heart. So I wanted to share that. I have a tendency to, tell my tales and share when I make a mistake. And I wanted everyone to know that that was the result of of all those exchanges this week. So I had this idea. I thought, well, it's a great idea if we all get together and do something together for peace. What should we do? And so my guidance said, well, let's do a meditation while President Obama is in the White House with the head of the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, and I forget who else was there. That seemed like a really good time to have a peace meditation. And I thought, well, let's keep it really simple. Let's just think peace for 10 minutes, whatever you're doing. You could be at work at your computer. You could be folding laundry or sitting in a movie, whatever. Just wherever you are, be peace and think peace for 10 minutes. Well, very nice person, very nice member of the Galactic Roundtable, E.T., pointed out to me right after the meditation and sent a copy of this video he made from the Earth cameras, the Earth cam that is positioned, pointed at the Imagine Peace Tower, and it had the real-time video of when we were meditating for those 10 minutes together, and it blew my mind completely. When we joined our energies and thought peace together, the beam of light that's at the Peace Tower exploded to a giant explosion of light. It was unreal. It was a made manifest in the physical proof of what love can do when it's joined together, and it completely blew me away. And following that, what we noticed when we looked at the video, besides the orbs and the beauty and everything that was in that video, I said to everyone, wow, the one of the most enormous starships I've ever seen was meditating with us. So if you don't know the background behind it, I think on John's birthday in 2008, but don't quote me, I could be wrong, and I'm speaking of John Lennon, his widow, Yoko Lennon, had a site erected in his memory, and it's called the Imagine Peace Tower. And it's this artistic, beautiful light. And she partnered with the government in Iceland at Reykjavik. And she, they have this kind of green project lighting system that's really advanced, and it's super neat. And it's this base, at the base is a circle, and shooting up from there is just a beam of light, just a straight beam of light that goes up to the sky, and they have an Earth cam there, and they have a live feed, and you can look anytime, and you'll see a straight beam of light. And I had people writing me saying, well, what is this? What is this light? Is it real? And that sort of thing. And so that's why I'm giving the background about that beam of light. And then Yoko has a campaign where people can make their wishes, whatever your wish is. If you have someone sick, or if you want peace in the world, or anything in between that you can imagine, if you have any wish, you can email it to the Imagine Peace Tower, and they will put your wish along with all the others from around the world, and they have a special place there where they keep them all, and you can go visit there if you ever wanted to, and all those wishes are there, and that light gets beamed out every single day, and that was the area that we focused on. And during the meditation, I said, take that light into your heart and imagine your heart superimposed on that light. And beam your light from your heart out to the universe from Gaia Vaiwamas. And we did that. And it made these incredible, outrageously beautiful, stunning photographs that were unreal. So I took E.T.'s video that he made. I wanted to put it on YouTube, and the computer program I had on my Macintosh couldn't handle a conversion, so I started from scratch. And what they do on the Earth cam is they keep an archive of the photos for 24 hours, I think, and so I worked all night on it. I pulled I don't know how many photos. I wanted it to be a real-time projection on the video as much as possible. The video is about 9 minutes and 53 seconds.
But it's the exact time we were meditating. And so I pulled still shots. I went through the video again and again and again, and I stopped the camera, and I got the best orb pictures I could find. And it took several hours, and I put it together, and I put some text over it and some music. So I hope any of you who saw that today really enjoyed it. And just that we have that memory down on tape is fantastic. So my heartfelt thanks from everyone for joining in on that. I guess I hoodwinked myself into doing it in a way, and it's kind of humorous because it came from a mistake I made, and I'm sorry for that. I apologize to everyone, but the result of it just blew my heart wide open, and I think I would love to hear from you guys of whatever other ideas you have that we can join together on. I think we should do more of this. You guys are really good. Thank you, because it gave me the thrill of my whole week. I know that everyone's anxious to hear the news, and I have some news, but I much prefer, just like everyone else, hearing it from Rama. But I don't know, what is your status, you guys?
They told me they would call me on the phone when they were set up, so I will let you know.
Okay. I thought, are you guys on mute?
Well, they were going to mute, but they were actually going to try to set up on the computer when they got to their new location.
Greetings.
Hi.
Hey, there they are.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, let's just talk on the phone. We tried downstairs, now we're upstairs, and so we'll just stay on the phone and let's go for it, Rama.
Oh my, where to begin with this story? And like it's being said by so many out there, now is the time for peace. And what Lady Master Beth is talking about with the Peace Tower and what's going on out there with the ships, there was a huge, huge mothercraft, some kind of huge shuttle. I sent the picture to Beth, and I'll try to send the two others as things move through the universe. But what is just being said is that even though it looks like this might be that this is Obama's war, it is not Obama's war in Afghanistan. This was started by the village idiot who usurped the seat of power in the year 2000, like Mr. Nostradamus said. And what is coming to pass is that this man, the Syrian commander, has been groomed for this mission for over 1,000 years. This ties into the people of the Kemet, the Black Land, and it ties in with what has been said by Dr. Richard Hoagland. All those orbs showing up in Grant Park didn't show up the night he was confirmed for nothing. This is like the energies that are being said at a greater scale, where the majority of the people on this planet said, we want peace, we want it now, we will settle for nothing less. And Nisara gets announced, these folks take a ride back to Dracos and then to wherever Mother Metatron, Michael, and Maitreya decide. It is up to them. They have diplomatic immunity. I am just a canary singing in a cage. A bluebird cage, seemingly, but it is just part of the matrix. What's going on out there today in terms of what I have heard is everyone from Tom Hartman to Randy Rhodes,
to Laura Flanders, to Amy Goodman.
They are all just saying that what is happening is the total meltdown of the empire.
Right.
And at the same time, Mr. Obama has to stand there and be the Syrian commander that he is and not lose his cool, but he sort of lost his cool yesterday and said this will not be tolerated. This has to do with Hillary. everything is connected with the State Department through that process. And I'll just say, all those good people that work through the State Department and all the other agencies, as the, you know, the fecal matter hits the oscillating apparatus, everything changes. Sovereign common law, the people, we the people, the commons, this is what Tom Hartman harps on every single day. Our fire departments, our police departments, they're part of the commons. How we work as a community inclusively rather than exclusively.
I just want to say that Barack Obama is a water buffalo.
Water.
A water buffalo, which is an ox. But it's that kind of ox. And they work in the, even in the rice fields.
And this is also the year of the Chinese metal tiger. And I also understand this tiger can be a bit wild, yet mother knows how to tame her or him. And the stories that are going on are such a grandiose level on all the different scales. I mean, I have talked to people in the last few days, weeks, that have gone from the everyday Hispanic mechanics to people in legislation and ex-governors, people that are connected with these 13 families, and they know the gig is up. And what this is about is 2012 lining up with Galactic Center, the Dark Rift, which is Mother's Womb Space. And I didn't mean to interrupt, Tara.
Which has been said is, no, I'm just, you know, you were, okay. Which has been said that has been moved up to 2010. In other words, 2012 is in 2010 right now. And that's really where we're at. For those who can lead now, it is very imperative that we come to a collective consensus where we discern. And that's what I think I would say that the message that I got from Beth here tonight, Beth, and you're listening, is that you're going to teach us, all of us together, the skill to discern and to remember that, to catch yourself in the rye as need be, and remember the power of the positive thought, and remember that the words are very specific, and it's been taught to every child. And it's called accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Is there anything you do to understand about that word? And don't mess with Mr. in between. When you read anything coming across the internet or any kind of commentary on any radio or television show or in any paper or any magazine, you can know by sensing with your higher sense perception where the writer's coming from, where the energy of the body politic is in the mind of the writer, and whether there is something going on that is in harmony, that means of the harmonics, of the highest light, for the highest good of all concerned, and nothing else shall enter here. That's what it means, is may the door where evil dwells be sealed. And that means not just for the moment, it means forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what we said we would do when we started on this grand Leela 450 billion years ago. And that's what it meant from the very beginning when we said no turning back. The evolution of civilization depends on those who are us remembering us as one. I pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you. And beautifully said. Thank you.
What I also can say that what's being said out there is that the King of Swords is at the level where the outrageousness of all the various stories that are trying to distract us from what is unfolding, which is full disclosure, which would end all the secrecy about anything connected with the Middle East or the Far East, which is the Stargates. And the Stargates are all around the planet. They go, there is a Stargate on every planet within this solar system, and it goes on out to the Pegasus galaxy, just like in Star Trek. Stargate Atlantis, Stargate SG-1. This is how the Anunnaki, the Ga'uld, put two and two together.
You know, everybody else is following you. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, and they just played around with the names, Anubis, Apophis, all the different Ra. They took Ra in the original movie, Stargate, turned him into a dark god, and he was not. Ra is Mother's father, and when you look at Mother's head, and you look at the cobra with the sun disk over her head, that is Ra, her father.
Well, they say it the other way. They actually say that Ra, that Sekhmet is the daughter of Ra. That's how they describe her, because the original feminine form is what's being accentuated, the way that's being said.
Mm-hmm. And the understanding is Ra is the frequency of the sun. David Wilcox brings Ra through him as his higher, you know, self. And in a sense, we're all related. So Ra is coming, full circle. Mother's coming full circle. All of us are back to heal this story, because it deals with our intergalactic relationship with each other and our relatives, and blood is thicker than water. And these Anunnaki, Nephilim or Nephilim, Elohim that fell from Elohai are demanding more love. So far be it for me to get in the way of that. I pass the talking stick. They have more love. And to Tara.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that a sister here whose home we're in here, Lady Master Michael, just handed us something here that Beth, you put out, and it's called The High Self is a Term Used to Describe the Mighty I Am Presence. This is like the blue-black energy of Krishna. Krishna, K-R-S-N-A, meaning from the void, from the grail of mother's womb space. Mm-hmm. Out of that comes the bodhisattva. And the mission that is embodied here in Krishna is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 arms. Mm-hmm. No, wait a minute. 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 arms, excuse me. 2010, 10 arms, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The symbology, I'm going to read it on, because this, okay. Do you want to say something?
Well, I had asked
talk loud so everybody can hear.
Read it.
Okay.
It's her answer to my question.
Okay, this is the cosmic self. This encompasses all aspects of you, capital Y-O-U, in all dimensions, all timelines, all layers, all levels. I do not use the term soul self. Yet all of these describe the multidimensional spiritual master living in a human body. The purpose of knowing one's avatar is to link with that part of you which is multidimensional and can travel out of body and do other things which cannot be done in the human body. It also means crossing the 13th gateway.
No, I'm not interrupting.
Oh. Entering
the dimensions of light and much more. That's what it means that you have to pass through Mother's test.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to pass through Mother's light. And that means you have to have that soul of an innocent child. And that means pure of heart. And also, with the highest Buddhic plane sensory perception going on at all times, that's respect. And gratitude is four-fifths of love. Every moment, that will bring that higher love in. It means crossing the 13th gateway, I repeat, entering the dimensions of light and much more. We can explore all of these together. I love this picture of the cosmic Krishna. The human Krishna is on the ground. Oh, yeah. Say what you see. I can see it as good as you can. Lady Master.
What I see?
Yeah.
Well, I see the grounding. You know, we're grounded on the ground. We're embodied. But that is the...
I can add something to that. If anyone has seen the picture of the cosmic Krishna that I put on the website, you'll see that there are rolling hills, and then Krishna's on his knees, and he is doing a kind of a bow, and beside him are his bow and arrow, and he has laid that on the ground. And then next to him is a chariot and two horses, and that is his earthly incarnation. And see, the cosmic Krishna is above him. That's his avatar. Up in the stars, and it's all those other aspects of him. That's what the picture is. Go ahead, Tara.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say something, and then I'll finish the last sentence.
And this directly relates.
We're getting a big echo. Somebody, can you help at the station? Okay, go try again, Ma.
Okay, this directly relates with that movie Avatar, and it has to do with the idea that multidimensional selves, this is what we do every night, and our brain produces DMT in the brain, and these are the chemicals that are part of the amino acid computers hooked up to the ships that connect with the silver and gold cords through the solar plexus and all the chakras. And you might call them etheric umbilical cords, if you will, or VR, virtual reality, as we're down here taking a, you know, rest, as it were, being horizontal, while we're...
In the night work.
In the night work, we're on the bridge, or... off planet like I am, you know, or on planet. I mean, sometimes Tara ends up and the bed is empty and I'm on the ship. And
my turn was my turn.
And I am beside Mother helping folks in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places to this day. I still do this every single night, along with all the other work on the bridge and everything else in between. And this is part of the understanding how we work with our avatars in that sense of the higher self, the etheric self. And at that level, you can be in everywhere at once and nowhere at all. And Krishna is showing his universal form here.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, the earthly, you know, shell, the physical, is connected up to the etheric universal self. And in the story of the Mahabharata, Krishna shows up in his universal form to Arjuna. Arjuna, avatar, think about it. And Arjuna is about to go to war against his brothers, the Pandavas. And this is over an entire kingdom in India, This involves the interplanetary wars that occurred at the time while the Orion War was going on. And in the Mahabharata, they used sidereal weapons, just like in Star Wars. That's why there is a story about a being known as Indra, and he had a sidereal weapon known as Indra's Dart that was, in a sense, like the Death Star. And it wasn't about negativity. It was just we were gods. We still are. This is why we're doing it with peace, and all the stories are coming back.
And we're going to get experience our God bodies, our life bodies together. This is why we do this. Let me finish this sentence. I just wanted to say, above his shoulders on one side are all these heads. See through there, Rama? And one of them is breathing fire. On the other side, one of the heads is an elephant's head, and that means Ganesh is on his, let me see, that means he's on his left shoulder, Ganesh. And that's a Shiva-Ganesh relationship there. That's a father-son, Shiva-Ganesh energy coming through. And it says here, the human Krishna is on the ground, living his life. He connects with his avatar. He connects with all his cosmic multidimensional aspects. One of my aspects is Pashat. And that's Beth saying that. And Pashat, and we got a beautiful, that photograph, but it's a painting of Sekhmet. We came across that. It's a Scandinavian artist from 1996 calendar. What?
Oh, I thought it was Susan Bouvet.
Not at all. That wasn't not. And I can do things in a Pashat body, which I would not do in my angelic body. And everyone, now is the time for Beth to help us now with being able to do this absolutely, every single one of us, without fail. It's simple, and it is the kiss of beauty coming back to our lives, everyone. I pass the talk.
Thank you so much, Tara. Thank you, Lady Master Michael, for that question. That was great.
We passed the talking stick.
Okay, thank you. I was just gathering my thoughts. Thank you both for sharing. Thank you very much. I guess I lost my train of thought just for a second. I had really hung in there and waited my turn, and I knew just what I was going to say. Tara, what were you talking about earlier before you started reading that about the positivity? Thank you. I got my thought back. Okay. People have been sending emails saying, Beth, you know, we've been waiting for disclosure, TikTok, what's going on? And then they actually will say at the end of the email, do you think this is ever going to happen, or something to that nature? And I always reply, well, that depends. Is your glass half empty or is your glass half full? And today when I was replying to one of the emails I linked to the YouTube of all of us gathering our love and our peace and meditating together and blowing that light beam right out of its base. So, you know, all of us have these thoughts every single day, but you should have that thought as a question mark and say, I'm going to make it a great day no matter what. And we will keep bringing you news and we'll keep watching the story. But even I'm kind of getting tired of the news because I've been so keyed into it for so long. Right now, it just feels like repeats on TV, like it's summertime or something like that. You know, people are excited. They sent me the news story about the Israelis who don't want to fly to England. And I'm thinking, I know, but that's been the news for the last 8 weeks. So I'm getting tired of that news. The big story is, of course, right now, is the escalation around Yemen. I don't know. Sorry if I say that wrong. So for the last 3 days, I said, oh, King of Swords, you know, I need an aerial shot because nobody's talking about the Stargate. And it's hard enough for people to envision what a Stargate is. It's a portal. And it's something that UFOs can fly through. It's big. And I said, you know, we really need to visually show this to people so they can see. Now, a very astute member of GRT this afternoon sent a news story from an Earthwatch site, and it's on the Galactic Roundtable, saying that there was an earthquake last Saturday, 4 days ago, if I have my counting right. There was an earthquake right on that spot in the sea. In the water was an earthquake, 6.3 on the Richter scale. Okay, so why is mainstream media telling me all these fake stories about this buildup in this tiny little country filled with people who don't make a lot of money, and there's no rhyme or reason to anything they're saying, but they won't tell me that there was an earthquake on the spot of the Stargate last weekend? Why aren't they telling me that? It's not even threatening to tell me that. So why aren't they telling us the news? So that's why I do what I do every day, just to keep bringing the news that we know is the truth back to light, back to the focus every single day. So that aerial shot shows off that Stargate very nicely. And I want to ask for help from anyone out there who wants to send me news stories. You guys are making me work way too hard. Keep sending me news stories. There's a select few that are sending them regularly. And keep your eyes peeled and keep sending the stories that back up what we know is the truth. And there's so many articles out there about these false flags and this false war. There was a humorous story a couple days ago that six large trucks filled with guns and explosives got lost somehow. I laughed so hard, I don't know if it's true, but it sounded like it had another SexNet all over.
It is true. Rachel Meadows talked about it, Lady Master.
Yes, do tell.
Rachel Meadows brought it up in the fact that how could, you know, these trucks just vanish? Did they get swallowed up by a dimensional portal, you know?
Right.
These things are being brought up. If the Gulf of Aden is opening up and folks are seeing it, we're not far. We're not far at all.
Thank you. I concur. And I'm thrilled. Anyways, there's more hard news we can talk about, but I really think we should get into talking about twin flames. And I guess this is what I wanted to tie into what Tara was saying. It's about the cup half empty and the cup half full. We can light up the Peace Tower, or we can sit around and mope and wonder when things are going to change. And I prefer that we keep working and we keep staying positive. And so what do all these changes mean? They mean reunions with our twin flames. They mean that we start remembering our siddhas and that we get our gifts back. And to do that, we have to lay the foundation. We have to acknowledge that we have right relationships in our lives. We have to clear and cleanse, and we have to be compassionate with ourselves and everyone around us and be truth and get into right relationships with everyone in our lives. That's the order of the day now. So what I'd like to do is open it up for Q&A regarding twin flames now. And you guys sent me some serious and significant questions, and some of them are heart-wrenching, and I really want to have some honest talk tonight. And, you know, you don't have to tell me your name, whatever, but if you have some questions, this is the place to ask them. And the more we talk about these things, the more normal these things will feel, and we'll all feel better about it. There's been so much programming that's been happening on this planet regarding
romantic relationships, and there's no reason for us to carry on with that anymore. So for some reason, I'm having trouble seeing my chat to see if there's can you see it, Marita? Is there anyone waiting? I can't see it.
I don't see anyone yet. There's no callers waiting. Let me give the phone number one more time.
Okay.
If you wish to ask a question or make a comment, it's 415-762-1161. 415-762-1161. So give us a call and let us know what questions you have and or what comments. So back to you, Beth.
Thank you, Marita. I think maybe what I'll do is, okay, I see my chat now. Thank you, Seth. I see no callers waiting.
I was going to say, on a certain level, I'm familiar with this being from Pleiades as well as other places, and both me and Tara have blue skin, green eyes, and blonde hair on Pleiades, and we kind of look like those Peshat people from the Navai, and it's kind of interesting they chose those colors with the golden eyes. I mean, that was the trip to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's no accident. But I just wanted to say that we come in all the colors of the rainbow. I passed the talking stick.
Thank you, Rama. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited that we can all start to open our minds a little bit and understand that there's much more to us than our human body. And us light workers who've been, I'm 42 years old. I've been working as a conscious, awake light worker for 25 years or more. And, Mark would argue with me if he was here, and he would say, I've been doing it for 65 years or whatever. But anyways, these indigo warriors, a lot of us light workers have been focusing so much on our light body and our angelic body. And it's time that we open our minds to all the different species of the black really are. And you can go through history. I've had several questions regarding, how can we say that President Obama is having meetings with ETs that are considered part of the grays? And I'll tell you that all the abductions that happened before are no longer happening, and they were, Rama, you can answer this so much better than I can, but this is my version of my truth that I understand. Those were renegades, and there is a part of that race that never fell. And Rama, maybe you need to jump in here because you have an expertise I don't have.
My understanding about this piece is that in the intergalactic wars long ago, the Zeta people were part of the folks that got duped by Jehovah, Lilith, and Lucifer, the Anunnaki overlords, and they occupied and invaded the Zeta Reticuli system, and the ones that survived waged war on their home planet, only to have it decimated to make it look like, you know, the Borg came and just cut slices out of the planet. And then they had to go inside of the planet and live, and there was no light, no water, no air. They literally transformed themselves into these little beings that you see in all the movies, everything from the beer commercials to, you know, the stories, and they have used it. I mean, they even have computers with the alien symbol of the grays. It's almost universal. They've been getting us ready for this since Hitler started meeting with some of these beings. He met with the grays, he met with the Pleiadians, he met with the Syrians, and, you know, out of all of them, the grays kind of they captured, the Germans captured some of the gray ships and used it, and they were very, very, very close to discovering the key to the Ark. And like in the movies, you mess with the energy of the Ark and it takes you out. And the Ark was given back to Ashtar by Rommel, so it is no longer a threat. And there is another Ark that they may have found, yet you have to know how to activate it. Right? It's involving sound frequencies with light and color. And the gemstones, the Urim of the Thurim, and as well as the Moldavite and all of that, Iridium and Erodium, how this relates to these beings is they were all part of this magical story, and as they de-evolved from the inside of their planet, they literally had to figure out another way how to coexist, and they started receiving light from photosynthesis, and the gray people have a molecule one or two different than humans, and it's almost like chlorophyll, their blood. That's what it changed to after they mutated. And Phoebe, extraterrestrial biological entity of which the movie E.T. was based on, Evie actually was captured. He was one of the scientists that was on that ship that crash-landed in Roswell. And that he eventually died because they messed with him too much. But all of these folks are back with brass balls on to tell the truth as the Syrian commander steps up to the plate and just says, I think it's time to talk about those funny structures on the moon that are a mile high. Maybe they're 2 miles high. Hey, Dubai, you know, you got to do a little better than this. Come on. Skiing on the moon? Let's go. And the understanding here is he will announce this. And Keith Olbermann talked about a hole in the moon today. He said it on MSNBC, this right in the opening little montage, just, there's a hole on the moon, folks. Mm-hmm. Is it a portal? He just said those words. Nobody caught it. I caught it. I passed the talking stick.
Thank you so much, Rama. I want to conclude on what you said, and then we have three callers waiting, so thank you, everybody. I want to set... Rama's computer's been down a few days, but we have that picture of the hole on the moon on the Galactic Roundtable because we're right on top of that. But I want to remind everyone of the story of the effigy of President Obama that was in Plains, Georgia this week, and that we're still dealing with just the basic racism between black skin and white skin. And this talk about avatars that we're talking about is about remembering who you are and knowing that when you take your skin off underneath, you have a galactic heritage that is, you might be a person covered in fur or in scales or have any different color skin there is. And it's time for us to start talking about this. I have been asked by people to do healings, and when I look at their true form, I see that they are Zeta Reticulan, and that they willingly participated in the abductions years ago, and that they were needing healing for this. And I will bring back these elaborate explanations. And there's been several that just got angry with me and didn't believe me. It's not easy to heal that abduction story. But the point is that there's so much that is the real truth, and we need to get over this racism
for skin color and understand that our galactic heritage has hundreds of different species that we're looking at. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about the avatar. So thank you very much, Rama and Tara. Let's shift gears now and talk about twin flames and go into Q&A. And I hope you're still waiting, Vilma. I'm sorry for the wait. Vilma on line two?
Yes, thank you for that. Liz, thank you for letting me talk. I'm not really sure whether someone has brought in this question or not, but because the lines were very, very noisy at the first part of the call. But I saw in the Rachel Meadows, I believe it was, a march, I think it was in Washington, something about a Tea Party, and they were showing Mr. Obama with a little mustache underneath his nose, looking like Hitler and so forth. Can you comment on what's going on with that?
If you would like to comment, I will.
Yes, please.
Anybody?
All of this, Vilma, has to do with the stories going on out there where the right side of the aisle is very angry and upset that they lost. I lost 2008 election. And like Tom Hartman has said, there are elements within the C-blank-A who want Obama gone. And him and Lamar Waldron talked about this yesterday, and they just said, not for one second will he be gone. This has everything to do with full disclosure that ties in with Dr. Stephen Greer and Dr. Stephen Bassett and everyone else. This is why they killed Dr. John Mack of Yale University. I got to meet him personally along with Mark here in Santa Fe. And Dr. John Mack was one of the leading psychiatrists who helped abductees come out of trauma and talk about their experiences. He even did a movie called Touched that talks about all the experiences of the abductions and bringing it full circle so that it could be healed. Most people in the AMA won't touch this with a 10-foot or 100-foot pole, as long as full disclosure doesn't happen, these things go on. And the AMA is tied in with the biomedical military industrial complex who want to kill the useless eaters. That ain't going to happen. That holographic program's been canceled. Yet Dr. John Mack, I'll just say, he will be vindicated for what he, you know, what happened in the sense by, you know, he was supposedly hit by a bus. And I'm just saying that, you know, all these folks, all the stories will be told of all the war crimes and genocide that have gone back to the year of 1812, where the British invaded the USA and burned the White House down.
That was built by the native Moorish people of the Moorish Constitution of the land.
That's right. And this is the history they want to erase from our history books that our school, that school children don't get to hear about. As Reagan got in and kicked Jimmy Carter out, they changed all the history books, changed everything. This is why we have to roll back 30 years of voodoo Reaganomics and hang the war criminals for economic genocide and war crimes. I pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Rum.
Thank you so much, and I love all of you. I pass the talking stick.
Thank you very much, Vilma. Matt, are you waiting on line three, please?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Matt. Good to see you.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Let me take you off speaker. Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So I have a twin flame question.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So Okay. So it's like a two-part question.
All right.
Is it possible that if a person's twin flame is on Earth also, in physicality, that it's harder to connect with them than if they were, like, on the ship or not here? That's the first part. And is it also possible that someone you thought was only your soulmate is actually your twin flame? Wouldn't you know right away? Or is it possible that both twins could have been blocked from knowing for certain reasons up to a certain time?
Okay. Tara and Rama, you have a great expertise on twin flames, and I'm going to answer these, and anytime you would like to jump in, you are invited to. I would like to say that as we go through... Am I echoing? Oh, that's terrible. Matt, for your question. As we go through romantic relationships and we come into romantic relationships with soulmates and parts of our soul family, then that's going to feel like they have a tendency to be great growth experiences. Sometimes it's a good experience and sometimes it's not. Not the same as knowing your twin flame. And what I've heard from twin flames who are living here on Earth together, they know that they're twin flames. They have no doubts that they're twin flames. So that's what I know about that. I haven't experienced that myself. As far as is it easier if you're twin flames on Earth or if you're twin flames on the ships, well, it seems like, I know the twin flames on the ships are monitoring their twin flame on Earth, and they know where they are, so it seems like that would be easier. But with these twin flame reunions coming now, they will find each other, even if they're both on Earth. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to answer Matt. Matt, did that answer your question? Okay. You can email me if you have anything more on that. Let me move on to the next caller. Karen from Oregon, are you on line one?
I am.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous, thank you. I'll go ahead and jump in. My question about the twin flame is, when you've linked up with that twin flame, is it going to be extremely obvious what our mission is once we've connected, or is that something that takes a while to reveal itself? Because I feel in my heart of hearts absolutely know that has happened, and there's just, like, an intense amount of energy between us that just, like, kind of blows the doors off on everything. But it's being able to actually focus that energy and be able to find what that divine plan was that we contracted before, you know, we came into this mission, what we're supposed to do together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, clarify for me, Karen, are you living with your twin flame now, or is your twin flame on the ship?
I'm living with.
Okay. As far as your own mission goes, not your twin flames, but as far as your own mission goes, are you clear on what that is now?
Yes, I am.
And you're doing that?
Yes, I am.
What I understand, and you can correct me if you're wrong, since you have more experience living with your twin flame, is that as we follow our joy and we know our mission and we work it every single day, some twin flames have work that's not together, and some twin flames work side by side. It just depends, and each couple is different. What is your experience?
Okay. We both have somewhat the same focus, and yet not. I'm a front person, and he's a person that is in the silence, if you will. So I'm more of a voice person out there in the public, and he's a quiet type and works more in the silence, if you will. So, and that way we actually balance each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. What I've been seeing in these questions I've gotten in the last couple of days is that people are curious if they match identically with their twin flame, does that mean that they will work together and everything will be the same? And there is as much diversity between twin flames as there are between people. So some twin flame couples work and sleep and play and eat and do every single thing together every single day. And others have a different lifestyle, and they both, you know, we've all separated from our twin flames to have these other lifetimes to develop these skills that we have and these parts of ourselves that we are, our spiritual mastery. And some twin flames are completely different from each other. So I think that's where the misunderstanding is coming in. And I understand, as far as how soon will everybody know what their mission is, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that we'll each have a guide and a mentor coming off the ships as the Earth is changing so rapidly and all the abundance is coming. We'll have plenty of helpers helping us figure all that out.
Okay. Do you have time for a second question?
Go ahead, Karen.
Okay. Speaking on the Avatar, I've been working with Ra for like over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any insight as to, I guess it would be able to access Ra. It's like he comes in opposed to me accessing him. He comes in when he wants to tell me something and guide me and have me take particular action. Is there a way that you can give me some insight into being able to have 100% access opposed to going in and out, or is that just something of continuing to access and talk to? Is that just something that you just continue to work on?
Sure. Ra came to Mark and I, and he asked us to help people, you know, get more familiar with his energy and show them a way to connect with him. And I don't know if you read the part of the Going Home series about going to Saturn. On Saturn is the Temple of Ra. And if you can look at that, and I can briefly tell you, you can meditate. You can go to Saturn and go visit the Temple of Ra, and Ra is there. And that's where you would go to speak with him, you know, with open access and ask whatever questions you would want. That's how I would start connecting with Ra.
Okay. Yeah, I've always dreamed about Saturn, so that tells me. I've been going there, so thank you.
There's a tab on the Galactic Roundtable called Going Home, and it has all of our visits to the other planets, and it greatly details the visit to Saturn and the Temple of Ra there, and it's a temple of creation, and it's a wonderful thing you can take into meditation, and you will connect as much as you want with Ra there.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Love to you all.
Thank you so much. Big Will, are you still on line one? How are you? Hi, Big Will. This is Beth. Hi, Big Will.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Okay, well, my question is to Beth, and hello, Tararama. And my question is this. Beth, this afternoon, you were on the chat line, and you said something very, very curious. Well, something I was very curious about. You mentioned about the cloaking, and you made a statement on that. Could you elaborate more on that, please? I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Big Will. I'm laughing because I can't remember what I did an hour ago, much less what I said this afternoon. I'm more than happy to openly talk about whatever that was, but you have to refresh my memory a little deeper, please.
Well, one of the chat members was asking you a question about when will we see decloaking? And, you know, you stepped up to the plate and you said that, if you don't see the cloaking today, I'll faint. That was your word.
I did say that, and to defend myself, I'll say that today isn't over in every time zone.
and I said that when Beth was something like that, the day is not over with. It doesn't necessarily mean daytime. It could mean night as well.
Thank you, Big Will. I concur.
Very good. Thank you.
Beth?
Yes.
Before you go on, I'm sorry, Big Will, but I couldn't understand anything that Big Will just said. Could you just reiterate so that we can understand? Because I want to enjoy it, but I don't know if it's just between this phone and everybody.
I'm more than happy to replay what we just said. Every once in a while, I jump into the chat on Galactic Roundtable. Several times, I just lurk because I want to see what people are talking about, and I'm always thrilled to see the level of conversation is very high every time I lurk, and I'm thrilled to see that. I love that. There's such beautiful people on the Galactic Roundtable, and that's what I'm looking to see. Anyways, when my energy gets low, it helps pick me up to talk to some friends, so I jump into the chat. And so one of our friends at Galactic Roundtable, who's often on the calls, said, you know, Beth, remember what Metatron said about decloaking? Come on now, tell us what's up. And I said to that person, if decloakings don't happen today, I will faint. And I meant it when I said it. And I believe that we're so close that there's no, I don't know what else to say. Rama was sharing a story the other day where he was asking Tom the Ringtailed Cat a question regarding this, and Tom the Ringtailed Cat said, I would tell you, but I would have to kill you. And I laughed when I heard that because I ask every single day, and they're not telling us. We're living in the matrix, and we're living by no dates, no nukes, no flukes, and all we can do is be love, be peace, continue to lift ourselves up, and know that it's now. It's in this next moment, and we're just going to have to hang in there. And that's what Big Will was bringing up, that he was defending me, saying, today's not over yet. So hopefully I won't faint. We all hope that it's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. So thank you for bringing that up, Big Will. I don't know if there's anyone waiting on the lines right now. If there's not, I'm more than happy to read some of the questions and answers. There's some questions from people in Europe that just won't be on the call. I can read their questions and answer them. Okay, there's no callers holding right now. So let's go to the questions that I got on the website. If I don't answer your question tonight, or if you emailed me your question, I may not have it in front of me tonight. So if you need an answer, just email me again and be patient with me. There's a lot going on, and I'm getting to all my emails as much as I can. I am answering hundreds of emails a day, and so just keep reminding me. I will answer you. Let's see. I'm just going to these questions. Let me go back to the first ones we had. Okay, here was a good one that I think is a good place to start. There were several people who were asking if their avatar is their twin flame or not. And so I hope we've answered that and that everyone now understands that your avatar is your cosmic self. It's your universal self, and it's your mighty I Am presence. And it's all the aspects of you. And that is not your twin flame. Your twin flame has their own avatar, their own cosmic self. And so avatar and twin flame are two completely different things. So
So in reply to the answer, I put in to the reply what Metatron had told me and Mark about the difference between twin rays and twin flames. And I want to read that because it's kind of a definition of twin flame for everybody, and that's a good place to start this discussion. Metatron, greetings. Please explain to us the difference between twin rays and twin flames. And Metatron says, twin rays exist an octave above twin flames. Twin flames are capable of individualized incarnate embodiment. Twin rays exist an octave above as pure light. There is confusion between the two because they are an aspect of each other. At the moment you are created, it appears as a water droplet of pure light, which divides immediately into two cells, one male and one female, and otherwise exactly the same in every way. These are divine complements of each other in perfect balance. The first expression of this divine creation is a twin ray of light. From the twin ray of light, then is born an expression in form. This expression in form of the twin ray becomes the twin flame. These are the individual forms which have expression in the physical. The twin rays express themselves in the dimensions above the 352nd dimension. Twin flames express themselves in the dimensions below the 352nd dimension. If one were in an incarnate body and unzipped its galactic human clothes, and they drop to the ground, underneath would be the light, which is the twin ray. They are the same expression, projecting from two different octaves. So I hope that clears up the twin ray and the twin flame and the avatar question. Now we have two callers waiting. Ariel, are you on line two there? Not sure if Ariel's still there. Okay, he's not there. Tim, Ariel, if you get a chance, call back. I'm sorry if you're having trouble with the phone. Tim is on line three. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
Since you were talking about twin flames, I figured I would contribute. I had just a comment.
Great. Thank you.
I'm 23 now, and I guess you could say I always knew that I was a star seed, way shower, whatever, a light worker, when I was a little boy. And I was very focused on knowing that there was somebody out there that reflected who I was. And I went through the phase of meeting my soulmate, and it was a really troubling experience. She was a Leo and I was a Libra, so it was like, mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of fire and a lot of tension. But it really did show me who I was. And after mm-hmm. that whole experience, I guess you could say my cup was definitely empty. And I had lost that flame that I once had when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And when I met my twin flame, it was as though there was no more pressure, and there was no fear, and I there was no pressure to be anybody. I was myself. And 2 weeks after that is when the fire returned, and I remembered who I was. I remembered my mission, and I guess you could say the mission was more in the awakening. And since that time, it's been 2 years. It's been mm-hmm. a continual process of balancing and releasing. Mm. And it was completely not what I expected. It was like a thief in the night. And it was a very beautiful experience. But one thing that I wanted to say to everybody that hasn't met their twin flame yet is that when you do, it's as though there's no pressure. There's no pressure to be anybody because the sustenance that you ultimately get is from yourself and knowing who you are. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Oh, Tim, thank you so much. What a great gift. It's wonderful to hear that that you've experienced that, and just to let everyone know, some twin flames have come together now before Earth ascended to help join their love together, to help raise us up. And there are many couples out there in their early 20s, just like Tim's twin flame. And I'm so grateful that you shared your experience with us, because it helps us all understand that better. It's much appreciated.
Could I say one more thing too?
Yes, absolutely.
Far as her, on her end, she's still, you know, I guess you could say awakening. She's at kind of the stage where she's opening up. And I also wanted to comment to people that as far as the galactic side of everything, when I get the most synchronistic moments with her, it's usually when I look in her eyes, it's I'm looking at the cosmos opposed to looking at, you know, a person. I literally see that there is somebody behind the scenes, if you will. And if that clears up any questions on are they, you know, on the ships or whatnot, because I have no idea what's going to happen when the decloakings happen. You know, I'm personally expecting, I have no idea, but I just wanted to mention that. And I love the calls, and I love the topics and everything, and I really just am thankful that I found you guys when I did. It was a completely synchronistic experience. Running into this whole thing. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Tim. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, Joanne from Utah, line 2. Are you there? Hi.
Yes, I'm. Can you hear me all right?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. I got in on the call late, and I'm just dying to know if you talked about how Mark was.
We did, and I will say that I guess I talked 20 minutes about it earlier, so I'm sorry you missed that, but if you'll indulge me, I'm going to say he's fine.
Oh, good. Well, that's the important thing. You don't have to go through it all again. And one other thing I wanted to say was my husband and I have been married 55 years, and I knew at 13 years of age that we were to be together, and I know he's my twin flame. And we've talked about this, and we thought, how would you feel if a twin flame came to you and it's somebody else, you know? Would you feel jealousy? What would you feel? And we thought, no, that's third dimensional feeling. And we were very open to any other twin flames coming in to each of us. However, from what I heard tonight, you can live together for a long time and do everything together and then know that it's your twin flame. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you believe in kinesiology, but
I
ask through muscle testing if my husband was my twin flame, and it was a big time yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting.
Very good.
I'll pass the talking stick.
Thank you. Thank you for everything, Joanne. I'll add that I'm getting questions from people who are married, and they're saying to me, I know that my partner, who I've been married to for a lifetime, is not my twin flame. What is going to happen? And I do know that there's a divine plan in place. And there's a few things that are certain, given the highest good for all involved is going to happen. There are some cases where relationships will need to have some honesty expressed and some changes made. There are also, on the other end of the scale, cases where the twin flame can come in through the higher aspects of the other person, and there's everything in between, and there would be no way to explain all the potential possibilities out there. But I do know that the relationships that need changing, that part might be cause for soul searching and honest talks and maybe some discomfort as we clear and clean and have right relationships with all relationships in our lives. But as far as coming together with your twin flame, that will happen when you're prepared to do so, and it will happen in the most loving way possible. And there will be, it will be like what Tim said. When you find that person, you'll know you have come home, and it will be easy. So I have two callers waiting. Thank you so much, Joanne.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hi, Cynthia Susan from Oregon. How are you?
Hi. When you say Oregon, you make me laugh. It's Oregon.
I'm glad that I make you. I'm glad I make you laugh. I got a 100%
batting
average.
The first 15 minutes, so many people were not star six. You couldn't hear anything you said. I did catch a little bit saying you were so grateful of what people have been writing in. So if you could spend a couple moments on that. And then we couldn't tell what you were saying about Mark because there was so much background chatter.
Oh, well, I gave one of my most heart-rending confessions of a lifetime right on the radio. And sorry you couldn't hear it. The potential of reliving that is not very big. The moment has passed.
Can you at all elaborate about Mark at all, or is it he's just okay? Is that the everything wrapped up real quick that way?
What's happening with Mark is that we've had an update that he is doing fine, and we expect him to be home in the very near future, and that that there is more information that we do understand behind the scenes, and that we're not sharing that because of compassion for Mark, and that when Mark is ready, he more than likely will share his story. He's told every other second of his life in public on every call. So we're waiting for him to come home and give those other details himself. We do have behind-the-scenes details we're not sharing, but there's different reasons for that. And so just so that everyone knows, I know everyone's concerned, and we are in touch, and we do know how he is, and he's doing fine. And the minute we can tell you more, we will. And so no need to worry, and thank you, everybody, for your love and all your support. And it's been a very trying time waiting, but everything's well.
Okay, and I'm most likely speaking for everyone. We're very grateful that you are who you are and that you spend your life working so hard for all of us, and we're truly blessed that you chose to take this on in this lifetime, and we're all very grateful. So I just wanted to say that and say thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy. That's so sweet. I really appreciate that. Oh, I can't imagine doing anything else, to be perfectly honest.
I know, and it's coming from my heart, and I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
You're welcome, and I love you.
Love you.
I pass the talking stick.
Thank you. I understand that Ariel is back on line 3. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi. My phone went dead on me, so I had to call back. But I have a question. I don't know if it's a stupid one, but I have two questions. I'm going to try to be as concise as possible. I don't know if you all have the calls waiting, but The first question is about personal grooming. It's like, I know a lot of stuff is not going to make it over to that 5D dimension as far as the chemicals we use for our hair and electrical devices like clippers and stuff like that and, you know, hair liners and stuff. How is that going to be in 5D reality? I mean, you know, because a lot of stuff's not going to be able to make it like that as far as poison and stuff we use for our personal groomings and stuff like that. I'm like, what is going to take place of that? And my second question is about the rising of these dance shows. And I have a strong feeling like dance is going to take a, you know, a huge part in the 5D dimension also. You know, there's so much of it going on. It's like, what does that mean? And, you know, I guess that's my two questions.
Okay, if it's all right with you, I want to answer backwards. I have this friend.
Okay.
Thank you. I have this friend named Scott, and he came to Mark and I, and he said, you know what, you guys, your websites are great, but there's more fun to be had in the 21st century, and I think we should start the Galactic Roundtable, a social site. And we said, wow, yippee, that's great. And this guy, Scott, who started Galactic Roundtable, is putting on music and dance shows that would blow your mind. He's in Detroit. And he has people, you know, eating flames, like, on the sidelines. So you're dancing and you're watching this guy eating flames. And then they have, you know, natural healers on the sidelines. You know, so if you want to stop dancing with your date, then you can go over and maybe have a massage or a back adjustment or something. And then they have these colored light shows loaded up on their computers, and they're putting up on the wall these graphics, like, you know, Scott did the animation of Crystalline Body, and he's putting that up on the wall, and these kids are dancing, and there's great, you know, there's this awesome music, and everything is uplifting to the soul and to the spirit. And I told him that I felt like him and those in his age group and those working with him and doing that sort of thing are bringing in the Galactic Society. And what the Galactic Society is about is more fun. And I hope that answers your question about the dance. We're all going to have more reason.
Yeah, it does.
We're going to have more
and
time
I'll,
to dance, more reason to dance. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add that this sounds like a typical Friday night after hours and 10 forward on the New Jerusalem.
Thank you.
Can I say something too?
Yes.
Go.
I just was, what I was remembering is, you know, when I did that performance, I danced and I created a performance on the screen walls of a complete dome theater, ceiling to floor, and a light show, and presented all the organic grown. I grew greens and sunflower greens and buckwheat greens and wheatgrass. I actually grew it, and everybody saw how it's done. And then I made a celebration a meal, and I played excerpts from 8 days of the World Symposium on Humanity. And those were visionary splicing of everything that occurred from all the people that met in three countries, England, Toronto, and Canada, and Pasadena Convention Center in Pasadena in United States. And 360 other locations were doing this as well on the ground where they were living with the music and the culture and the art and the dance forms that they had there.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are picking it all up. That's what time it
is. Coming full circle, dude.
And that means build circular,
okay, you
dude.
Can answer the first question.
Go ahead, Eric.
What?
Go ahead, Ariel.
Yeah, oh, no, I was saying, since you answered the dance part already, answered the first one about, you know, that goes for everybody. Everybody gets dressed in the morning using grease and gel and all that other stuff. And like, how is that going to take place? Because I know that's not going to be making in the 5D dimension. Like, how are we going to personally groom ourselves once we get to the 5th dimension? Because I know a lot of stuff we use now is not going to make it over there.
Right. Rama, I can answer this, but not as well as you can.
Well, what I can say is we are integrating in the ascension frequencies, and like in the movie Cocoon, where you saw them sort of take their shells off and the human suits fell to the floor, and you saw these incredible light beings just kind of float up into the air. And, you know, that, in a sense, is what is our light body, our frequencies, our, you know, the avatar, if you will, to use that cliche. At the same time, it is the higher self. And in the 5th dimension, I physically experienced this on Soltec's ship, the Phoenix. When you get up in the morning in your quarters, there is, like, you know, a sink. And in a sense, as you move into the 5th dimension, all your organs change. You don't go to the bathroom in the same way you do here. Things don't function in the same way because we're eating liquid light, so we don't, in a sense, have to do those things that we do down here. And in that sense, as we ascend, these elimination processes cease to exist, where we're constantly living on liquid light, living love, so there's no waste.
That's what it means to replace your first and second chakra with your eighth and ninth chakra and then go from there.
And it's not about giving up any love or anything else. It's even better than before. Yet what I'll say is that when you get up in the morning, you step into this stall, and a sonic shower comes on that is adjusted directly to your body temperature, your frequency, and it is a sound frequency of water that goes through every cell, and it literally vibrates every cell at the frequency of 440 hertz. So that is like the note when you hit the king's coffer in the king's chamber. And basically it feels like you're having orgasms in every cell of your body when you go through the sonic shower. So when you step out, it's like, oh my. I tapped the talking stick.
Thank you, Ariel. Does that answer your question? You're gone. You're off your line. Thank you so much. Great questions. Taliba, did I say your name right, dear? Are you online, too?
Yes, I'm here, Beth. Thank you. Hi, Tara. Hi, Rama.
I've been thinking about you and the children's stories you'll be writing, even though I don't answer every email. I'm excited about your work.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Beth. I'm excited, too, actually. my question was about a twin flame. I'm single, young female, 30 years old, and as I was telling you before, my awakening happened on the 11/11. I was always spiritual. And now I'm not feeling that sexual desire. I'm not feeling, you know, like that whole third dimension animal kingdom type of romance. Mm-hmm. And I'm so looking forward to my twin flame. I just wanted to know, how are we going to, how should we expect them coming to us? Are we going to have to go out to meet them, or are they going to come to us once the landing takes place, to like the residence that we're located at, or how would that all work out? And kind of like, what would they kind of look like? I mean, what would they look like where they're from our original state? You know, from the planets that we're from, or would they look like our human bodies here in the third dimension? I pass the talking stick.
Thank you for your question. I have a part of the answer that I understand, and I'm Rama, I'm not trying to put it on you to answer it, but some of the questions, I think you understand the answers better than I do regarding, you know, about how the twin flames will come off the ships. Will they walk up to our door and say, hi, glad to see you? And when they come, will they come in their true form, their human body? What is your take on that?
My take on it is, as Nisara is announced, peace is declared, and these folks get to land, and they are integrated into our cultures and understandings in the sense that we come together as friends and mutual brothers and sisters that haven't seen each other for trillions or quintillions of years. And
that's beyond the beyond. Gate, gate, paragate, parasangate, bodhisattva, svaha, and it ends the same way as it began.
Yes, and how I understand it is as everything happens in a gentle, loving way, the ship's counselors will integrate with our societies and cultures and help us integrate how we have some learning curves to go through in a cosmic way where we can integrate with our galactic brothers and sisters, because they have pieces of the puzzle that will complete the circle and create the whole. Then we have the whole pie.
And I mean, in literal physical terms, we've been told they'll be landing outside of every city there is.
That's right.
Every city, town, and people can be magnetized to those landings, and they're not going to just happen one time.
No.
They're just going to be ongoing. So work from within your own being, and that's where you find your twin flame first.
And it's almost like in that scene where Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters, where he is so intense on getting to Devil's Tower that he creates it in his living room and freaks his family out, because he knows it's the word, the man is showing up, so you better be showing up. You see what I'm saying here?
Absolutely, Rama, absolutely. I just want to make sure, because I've been doing my twin flame meditations, and I speak with Archimuel, and I send my prayers out to my love of my life. And I just want to make sure I'm not like standing at the front door waiting for someone that's not coming.
He's coming. That I know for sure.
Remember to seek your new mission right now, because it's right in the front of everybody's face. And as you knock on that door and open it, and you never know where that door knock is coming from or going to, until you step into the moment and just be.
There was this one experience, and it's kind of like it was an abstract concept that they played with in Star Trek Next Generation, where you fall in love with someone, yet that someone might be a symbiont, and he takes on different forms, like in this Dr. Crusher fell in love with a man named Odon, and he was a Trill, and the Trill are a group of life forms that they have a human host, and they are a symbiont life form that looks a little alien, kind of like a giant jellyfish, sort of, and it coexists inside a human Adam Kadmon, yet they integrate at such a level where, you know, the symbiont is like the core matrix, and the human host is able to function with the symbiont in such a way where all the cultures and aspects and the most beautiful, wonderful manifestations of both life forms coming together as one are manifested through the being. And this being, Odon, was an intergalactic mediator, negotiator, and there was a shuttle accident. He got damaged, and they had to transplant him from one human host to another. And Dr. Crusher got overwhelmed with the idea that he got placed in this other life form, and she didn't recognize him, and it was just like, what is this? And the reason I'm bringing this up is that as we integrate with our twin flames, don't be surprised if what you expect ain't what you're getting, because look a little different from what they seem. And, you know, me and Tara have Peshat bodies as well as Pleiadian human bodies. So it goes all around the block. I pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Rama.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And you all have a great night. And I thank you for the work that you've been doing for us. And I am so grateful to have found the Galactic family. Thank you.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you. I think I don't see any callers right now. I'm looking through to see if I can find some of these questions that came up. Okay, some of these questions, I'm just scanning them. Some of them we've already answered. So just let me go to the next page. We've covered some ground, I see. And it's getting kind of late, so, you know, we had said that we will also talk about avatars tonight. So we can also shift gears if you guys want to call in and ask questions about finding your avatar. That's also acceptable now. Not finding some questions. I have two pages of questions. Let me go to my other one. Some people had put out questions on Welcome to Light.
Hey, Beth?
Yeah, Tara, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that our friend Michael just really wanted you to give some kind of a basic idea of how each person in your third eye, in your mind's eye, can perceive and magnetically attract that which resonates and harmonizes with their field of energy, and how to perfect that so that when the student is ready, the teacher arrives. When the complementary consort is ready, then the other one shows up.
I don't know if I know the answer.
Well,
I know how to do it.
Well, do you know how to maybe tell a story? You know, storytelling is the way that the native people of every land actually taught their children and their children's children's children. So maybe that would be...
I'm happy to share all my stories. Ask me the question a different way.
Okay, Michael, come up here and ask the question the way that it comes to you.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. You didn't really want to know how to connect with your twin flame? Isn't that what you were saying? How to attract your twin flame?
Oh, that I can talk about.
And the magnetics
involved. What is the, you know, the electromagnetic field of each higher self combination with this human experience is whole as you are in the moment. And as you are in the moment, every moment, that magnetic field builds where around the light body there is first an etheric physical and it's gold, the whole thing. And as there is anything in your etheric light body, and you know, oftentimes we do smudging of our bodies, one person will help by lighting some cedar or some sage, and you take the smoke and you take it through and you run it across the aura, the etheric physical of every part of your body, from arms to legs to the front to the back. You do it yourself. You take it in when someone offers it to you. And that's a cleansing and a purification and an heightened awareness of your etheric and physical bodies being one. And where you feel something is depending on your astrology. It does depend a lot on your astrology of when you chose to come in astrologically. And sometimes people are more prone to feeling themselves in their gut, way down in their gut. And that's where you got to go. And you can tell. Some people can feel it in their third chakra, in their fourth, in their fifth, in their sixth. It's the level at which you're ready to go at whatever level of the chakra that's ready to go there with you. And over lifetimes, there are multiples of experiences that hone and preen and perfect and sharpen every aspect of your being. And in this lifetime, it is completion lifetime for everybody's lifetime, past, present, or future, ever, 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 in any time space you've ever existed in. In this lifetime, in this form. And that's a promise. We promised ourselves we would do it in this moment, and the moment has arrived. And I'll let you go ahead and elaborate, but I just had to stumble on all those words and I passed the talking stick.
That's great, Tara. Thank you for that perspective. I think I have two callers, so I'm going to take their questions and I'll interrupt this conversation, but then afterwards I'm going to pick it back up. And I think what I'll do is I'll share my personal experience with everyone because I, you know, came in and my memories were wiped, and that happened for a reason, so that I would experience everything through the matrix the same as everyone else. And so I would start out with not knowing the answers, and I would remember the answers. And I have remembered them now, and because I had to go through the experience of remembering, I have the same experience as everyone else who doesn't know their twin flame, hasn't seen them. And so I would love to share my personal experience with that. And I'm going to shift over to two callers first, and then I'll talk about those other things. So I think Big Will is back on line one. Hi.
Hey, Beth. How are you?
How are you?
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. My question is this here. Tara had hinted on this a little bit earlier when she was talking about body frequencies and so forth. When each person... when the cloaking happens, if each person get a half a step in frequencies, and the aura around them will be in full bloom, you could say, each person has a different color aura. Is that correct? And I pass the talking stick.
I can say...
Yes, thank you.
I can say, yes, everyone has different frequencies of color, light, and sound within their aura, and it changes constantly, second to second. It is when you go and get a purely on photography photo of yourself, like at a psychic fair, that's kind of what it looks like. Only it's even more. It's like looking at the colors through, you know, if you've ever experienced taking acid, that is what it looks like to me. It is that vivid, that incredible, and it is just like the paintings, the Peruvian, you know, the different magical journeys that through the ayahuasca and other stuff. I mean, the incredible imagery. The only way I know how to describe it is if you go to this YouTube video called The Third Eye is a Stargate, and look at that, and you will see the colors of what you see in the auric space. My talking stick.
Thank you, Rama. Big Will, the reason I hesitated to answer is because as a practice, I don't read auras typically. I have a different way of visioning people, and I haven't practiced reading auras, and I knew that Rama is much more practiced at that, and he would have a better answer, and that was what my hesitation was. When I look at people out on the street, I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at their energy, but it's different than reading their auras. So did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. Yes, thank you very much. Have a good night. Hey, Ray from Virginia, are you online too there?
Hello, Tara, Rama, and Beth. Hi, everybody. How are you all?
Hi, very good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to ask my question. I wish you, first of all, wish you a wonderful new year and full of light and love. I wish you send the same thing back to me.
Yes, I do, absolutely, and I thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. My question is regarding the the difference between higher self and twin flame. To some extent, I understand, but sometimes people come with the same thing as the higher self is your twin flame. If you can explain about that, I would appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Ray, for asking. Each individual person has their own I am presence, and we call that our higher self. And that is the spiritual master within you that is living in a human body. And that is not your twin flame. That is you. That's the higher part of you, your Christed self, your Buddha self, your Krishna self. It's that cosmic self of you. Does that make sense?
Yes, perfectly. Yes, you clarified that very elegantly. And about twin flames, if you can do.
Yes, yes. So let's imagine you're standing in the room with your twin flame. She has her own higher self. She has her own cosmic self, her own aspects. And you two are completely separate. But she is your divine consort. She is your divine complement. You both were created at the same moment. You are the same except for one thing. One is male, one is female. Tara and Rama, would you like to answer anything more to that twin flame part?
Only that as we become more and more evolved in our frequencies, as we merge into our higher aspects and the ascended selves, the light body, like the way the images of Ashtar is seen, he almost looks androgynous and like a young boy of 20 years old. I would just say at that level, as we merge with our light bodies and the frequencies integrate fully at the fifth dimension, we take on these androgynous, almost universal looking selves, so that some of us might look a little more feminine or a little more masculine or both. And in that sense, the pictures of Krishna or Rama or Shiva, there's images of Shiva where he actually looks feminine mm-hmm. rather than masculine. And Shiva is one of the most fierce gods of the Hindu Trinity. He has the laser beam that comes out of his third eye and destroys, you know, the negative nature of the darkness.
And one of his consorts, Durga, rides on a tiger skin, and you don't mess with her.
No.
A different kind of Aladdin coming along your way.
No. Oh, my God.
Although that's the kind of love that Mother actually speaks of when she said,
Goddess. If I may ask, I have a follow-up question.
Yes, go ahead, Ray. Thank you.
Okay.
As we are occupied in three-dimensional world, and you are married, have family, and so on, mm-hmm. our twin flames in higher dimensions, they have their own things. They live their lives somehow different probably than ours, but our twin flame was engaged with other entities as well?
I'm not quite sure I understood every word. It's a little hard to hear you, Commander. If you heard better, Beth, can you please?
I repeat again. My question is this. Since we are living in this three-dimensional world, and our twin flames, since they live their lives in other dimension, higher dimension, let's say, they had their own lives to live it. How they lived it and how they are putting it to halt, let's say, and coming to unite with us.
Well, I got to say this right off the bat. Because you're in the third dimension by having a body, means absolutely nothing else than that. In other words, you're at the highest dimensions in the body, and that's when Ashtar said to us when we first met. Actually, we met 4 days before 11/11 at a channeling,
right.
Kitty Corner, and Ashtar looked at us both and said, "Hats off to you guys.
You did it.
You did the hard stuff. You came into the body and you did it from the third dimension with the highest dimensions that we also hold."
Here's the shoes. Now you step into those shoes and we're going to take the back seat in the shuttlecraft and we'll see how you ride.
That's what we did at the World Symposium on Humanity. You know, we spent 5 years planning this and creating 360 locations to do this event together as a global peoples. And literally, in the middle of, after the fourth day, we met at 4:30 in the morning every day and made a fire at the front of the Pasadena Convention Center. And then we traded places with the people that came that were actually right off the street. And we traded places with the people that were joining us. And we sat on the outside of the circle, and they got in the main prime circle, and they did the round table. And we created what we call a rotating Council of 12. And Council of 12 doesn't mean 12 just people that take power. That does not what it means. It means that there are 12 rays in the higher aspect of the 12-rayed rainbow, and that when you accomplish 12 times 12, that means, you know, that 12-step program. Well, there really is a 12-step program in terms of understanding all 12 strands of DNA. And there are each of those levels. You have to have 12 aspects of the first ray and 12 of the second. Third, fourth, that's where the 144 comes from and the 144,000.
My name is Joe, and I am an ET.
101. It is that simple, and it's not hard. It's just that the challenge that we came in this lifetime to meet was to get the clarity 100% on track again. and that means those who know a little more than the other got a lead. How else is it going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of sleepiers, sleepy, doing the work? I don't think so. That's toxic.
Thank you, Tara. Ray, I have another a viewpoint to add to that. A couple of things.
Thank you.
Some people have been saying to me, well, I'm married, and I know that my wife's not my twin flame. She knows she's not my twin flame. So what are we going to do? And I'm saying that we know that these twin flame relationships, as we integrate the higher part of ourselves in our new society and we have this half-step increase in heart opening and knowledge at the same time, that we will have deeper understandings and that these twin flame reunions will happen in ways that we can't imagine right now. And also, the best thing any person can do as they remember their mastery and come into their ascension is to live their own truth in the highest way possible every single day. When you're doing that, you're guiding yourself through all of your interpersonal relationships on the highest levels possible, then everything that needs to happen will happen. In other words, if you're in a relationship because if you weren't, you wouldn't survive because you have a relationship based on money, then, you know, when the star is implemented, all of that's going to change and some of those problems are going to go away. And when those problems are freed up and we're looking at our world a different way, then the solutions that come are different than what we're looking at now. So the important thing to do now is to clear ourselves, be honest, have right relationships, and be love and be peace, and keep doing that every single day. And don't stay stuck in old programming and don't allow yourself to indulge in immature behavior and be your best self you can be every day. And as you do that, these relationships are going to shift into a space where they need to be for these twin flame reunions to happen. And that's what it means to be prepared. And, you know, you said, well, we're meeting these twin flames and we're here down on the earth. And what are they doing right now? What are they? They're hanging out somewhere. What are they doing? And I'll share a story that my twin flame told me recently. He said, you know, I was kind of remembering how, you know, I came into this violent relationship and within 3 weeks I had filed for divorce. And I had to say to myself back then, well, you know, if you take this divorce step, you're going to be head of a household for 3 children for the next 14 years until they're adults. They were little kids back then. And that was very scary. And anything any of you can imagine that you're going through right now, I have some taste of what you're experiencing and the fears that you have. And I don't understand everything, but I've walked through that situation on enough levels that I do understand where these questions are coming from. And some people have asked me, well, what about the children? And that goes along with the same correct answer that's right for every situation. Be your best self. Walk your talk. Be honest. I knew that when I took these children into my own that I would have to not only be my best self, but I would have to be even better because I would have to be the emotional support for 3 human beings who would need to have happy relationships in their lives. And that was one reason for doing it. And so I faced all of these challenges, and I was talking to my twin flame about that. And I was trying to come to terms, just like everybody else, with what will it be like when I meet you and that sort of thing. And he took me up on the ship to a computer monitor screen, and it was a kind of a touch screen. And he brought up an image of me crying. And, you know, maybe laying on the bed crying or laying on the sofa crying, whatever. And he touched the screen again and again and again. And every time he touched the screen was another scene of one time in the past when I had been crying because I was frustrated or I was lonely or I was under a huge challenge or whatever. He said, I have been here doing my work every day, and I have been watching you, and I've had to stand by and watch you go through every step of that, and I have never not been with you. And so our twin flames that are on the ship are aware of us. They are watching us. They are not there to be our guidance. They are there to be our support. They're our partners. And they know where we are, and they can see us, and they know every thought we're having and everything we're going through. And this, I know, is truth. So I hope that helps open up the understanding of those questions.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much. And if I may say so, it's just about 11:11 at East Coast. If you can send your praise to all of us, I appreciate that. And
yes,
Mark, Tara and Rama.
I will. Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you. It's 11:11 just about now.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Tara Rama. Love you all.
Love you too. Thank you. Hi, Chandra Das on line one. How are you doing tonight?
Excellent. Good to talk to you. I just wanted to talk a little bit about avatar and what a definition of an avatar is, because I have an understanding about avatar as one who enters a world free of karma, so to speak, like a Christ-like being, Krishna.
Okay, hold on one second. Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You wrote something beautiful on the Galactic Roundtable today, your definition and the way you perceived it. So if it works for you, will you say your definition and then let me add a reply?
Yeah, okay. My definition is, you know, when an avatar is someone who comes to a planet, so like a savior or someone free of karma, and they have no self-interest in their service. And the other definition that you get from seeing the movie Avatar is, for example, like if you have a little picture on your website, that's your little avatar, Beth True Twins avatar, is that little picture that you see there. So it's like a body that you can use in an environment that wouldn't allow you to be alive in that sense. You know what I'm saying? It's like you enter another body in order to live there.
Right.
So I don't know. I thought it was kind of hilarious
the way they used
the word avatar, because I wasn't, you know, used to being used like that.
Right. I understand. Okay, so you practice meditation, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so this avatar definition, the first one you gave about this perfected being with selfless service and all that jazz, are you thinking of that as the Christ itself?
Yeah, it's like, the Christ itself, or that,
I mean that phrase, and, you know, some circles use that phrase, and that I don't want to just be stuck on that phrase. It's just the one that I grew up with in my culture, the Christ itself.
Christ itself, yeah. Someone who comes in sinless or whatever, you know, has developed a level of purity beyond reproach or whatever, and worthy of worship, so to speak.
So is that our divine, is that our spark of divinity that's in each one of us?
Yes, I would say that when when you're in front of a true master, they don't need anything from you because they're self-realized already, and their service is for you to give you a glimpse of the divine. And I've experienced that personally with Sri Sri. I wanted to also ask maybe Rama to talk about their triple Sri, but I've met this my guru named Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who's what I call him, double Sri also, and he gave me the experience of this incredible opening where he just looked at me with the eyes of Christ and Krishna and all the avatars at one glance. So so to speak, and it just like blew me away and sent me into a state of Brahmananda for days and days. I was in a state of Shaktipat that made the grace was just thick around my whole my whole life, you know. It was like amazing that there is such a thing as divine love dripping on everything. And
it's funny that you mentioned that. I'm sorry to interject, but Tara can still tell me stories from last summer about Sri Sri Sri, and when she tells the story and I wasn't there, I start crying at the beauty of the story because I can still feel the love coming through Sri 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 from the story that she's telling from it. And it's absolutely amazing what you're talking about. And I think the point I'm trying to make is that we are all creator gods, and we have to drop all of this old programming we have that we're less than that, because we are not. And
but it's kind of fun to be less than that, because the journey to that is just so awesome and so spectacular. The tears of joy that happen when you have these divine realizations, as the guru says, oh, you're not bowing down to me, you're bowing down to yourself. And then that realization is just so profound that you are that divinity, you know.
Yeah. Right. That is your avatar. Your avatar body is the body that is beholding that what you're speaking of.
Right. Okay, now twin flame. Look, I feel like the guru is like my soulmate, because he's the one that showed me my soul or whatever. He showed me all these faces of Krishna and Christ, and showed me that avatar being or the that soul. He showed me myself. But how does a twin flame come in regard to that?
Okay.
In contrast to like a, because you have this guru, but he, it's like I'm not going to, take up residence with my guru, however I'd like to, be his right hand man for a 6 month stint or something.
Okay, so I have to step out and show a contrasty reply by saying, Rama has the best story about this of anyone I know, and if he can share it if he wants to, but what I'll say is that there are no gurus here. Once we're in our avatar body, we all are that divine spark. We're all equal. We're all children of God. There are no gurus. That's the part we have to draw. I hope I'm saying that right.
But there's part of me that the bhakti, the love that you experience through the guru he introduces to yourself and to God and the whole nine yards, there's just no way to drop that gratitude.
Yeah.
And,
I'll give you an example of how I see it. When you put a video up on the Galactic Roundtable of all these kids playing flutes and strumming these, I don't know the name of the instrument, and there's like 1,000 of them in the room, and they're playing this song that is so beautiful that it makes you cry. And the only way that I got to see that video is because Chandra Das put it up on the site. Then you are playing that role then, and you are giving me the bhakti then, and you are that then.
Thank you, darling.
No gurus here. That's what the Galactic Roundtable means. We're all equal.
Right.
And I love you, and I love that I am in you and in me and in all of us. We're here to share.
Yes.
Rama, do you have something to add to that, Tara?
I can just say that as we integrate with our higher selves, as like what Ashtar has explained to me so many times, that when we step into the ascended master self, we are the guru, and they are simply showing up as the 144,000 avatars times 100,000 times 100,000 what's happening is all these ascended masters, sisterhoods, brotherhoods, are here, and they are saying, I am not the way or the light. This is the way. This is the light.
This is the truth. And then and do these things in remembrance of me. In other words, I must be the example, and then you be the example, and then you will leave that to your posterity over and over and over again. And that was the promise that we all made, that we would actually do that. And, of course, we kind of had some varieties of interpretations that came out of that. And that little word again, denial, which is not a river in Egypt, has come up in everyone's past.
And one time, I was the longtime disciple of Swami Satchidananda Integral Yoga Institute. I used to live in Pomfret, Connecticut, where Yogaville East used to be, and then they moved to Roanoke, Virginia. And one time, Swami Satchidananda looked at me, this was in 1978, and he just said, I am not the guru. You are, and you will be on your way to be talking with your father, who is Captain Ashtar, and he will tell you about who the true guru is, which is you, and I send you on your way. Even Yogi Bhajan told me that in 1968.
And that's the same thing Saint Germain said in his own way. He said, I will not say, may God bless you. I will say, may you pass every test. Why? Because you're God.
Yeah.
And I'm Goddess. And remember, the fullness of one's being must be in perfect balance and harmony between that aspect we call masculine with feminine, which produces that balance. The next 2,000...
Perfect balance of all the five elements and the masculine, feminine, living together in harmony, dancing as Shiva, not the Raja.
That's correct. Absolutely. Hari Om Tat Sat. Namaste to all my relations for seven generations on to now. Why do we always say seven generations? That's the magic number. It's the number where alchemy is produced. And when you understand the law of seven, the law of seven is the law of infinite precipitation of that alchemy. There's no way out of this. The seven basic star points are always imperfectly perfected in everyone that makes the choice of that particular slight little angle, which makes you uniquely able to express in a perfect way in terms of those seven points, which are always one of those points are slightly imperfect to the other. And that's the perfect perfection that each one of us designed to make this symphony of harmonics that we all dance together with. That's what makes these calls so extraordinary. We're actually reaching for that star that we are and not doing anything less in our conversations. Thank you for that question. I mean, this is wonderful. And if anybody wants to pass this talking stick
I have one other comment, too, that Rama always talks about when the Sara is announced that there's a certain amount of NGOs that are poised to do this transformation. And the work is, I'm just so amazed, because the Sri Sri's organization is the largest NGO on the planet, and they teach Sudarshan Kriya, which is a technique that completely floods the body with prana and allows a lot of the emotional toxins and all of our programming to help, root that all out. And we have armies and armies of peace angels that are being prepared and inspired by Sri Sri to do the service, to do the work immediately. And all we need is a couple of nickels to rub our hands together with to make this happen. And that's why I pray so hard for Nisara. Om Namah Shivaya Jai Gurudev. Nisara now is my prayer about every other breath these days.
And remember,
infinite precipitation is yours and mine right now. And don't look at it as money. Look at it as this. What was
the
money?
Energy and intention. The energy and intention is there in the atmosphere. All we need is the liberty or the freedom to be able to do it. And I cry because it's all I want for this world is that divine transformation. So we don't have to cry anymore. We cry for love, not cry for all the terrible things we've done to each other.
And that's right.
The terrible depleted uranium that our government dumped on that nation. And what are we going to do about that? Is the scary commander responsible?
Hold on, right there. Hold on, because the knowledge, the higher knowledge, is the true money. That's the value that we are placing on now, knowing that there is goodness in everything. Literally, when we wake up that ET light body, we can take that depleted uranium through the body and transmute it into the living light and literally turn it around by taking it through the body. And that is the magic of the molecule that was literally discovered of water in 1965 in Bolin Chemical Company's laboratory by accident, looking for a cleaner, for a floor cleaner and a bowl bottom cleaner. And he found this thing would clean the bottom of a boat, all the carbuncles and everything. All you had to do is pour it over there and wash or swish it around, and it was done. It usually takes sometimes it takes 4 or 5 days to clean that thing up. I'm just trying to tell you something that when you understand that there is a synchronicity where enough of us come together at a certain point in time, the answer manifests in a new form of a molecule because we decided to collaborate and create it.
Right.
There is nothing that looks like horror that is horror unless you keep going over it. That is why Buddha said, pain is inevitable. It's a wake-upper. Suffering is optional.
And I'll just say, as Ashtar has told me, even to the point when I was 13 years old in 1967, all of the depleted uranium, all the nukes, all of these technologies of death are already being neutralized. And as we have Nasara announced and peace declared, all the depleted uranium in Iraq, Afghanistan, everywhere.
And in the bodies of the people, all they got to do is ask for it.
Yeah.
Seek it, ask it, and stay positive. Eliminate all negativity. And that includes remembering that suffering is optional. That is something we call recapitulation when we keep going over and over. And Beth, you gave a good story, and everyone, not just you, gentleman, everyone, learn this right now, that no matter what it looked like yesterday, or even the second before we said these words together, that yesterday and that second before is gone. It's gone forever unless you want to recapitulate it. Do you want to do it again? How many times do we want to do this? Are we done? As soon as we say, I'm done, that means I'm stopped.
No,
we're done. And I'm stopping for good. That means a complete change in attitude. And it's got to be that gratitude attitude. It's 4/5 of love. That's a lot of gratitude. So keep saying thank you for dumping that radiation, because it brought us together to say, no, I don't think we're doing that anymore. And besides that, now I know I have the power to transmute it, and I can help anyone that wants it to.
This is something that's already happening that's not being discussed. All the police departments in this country, along with the paramilitary, have depleted uranium bullets. And one of the local officers here in the city of Holy Faith said something today on a local radio station that just piqued my interest, because he was talking about the ghost hunters and the sci-fi channel in 2012 and what's going on. And he said, I noticed in the last weeks since we went through all these various portals leading up to right now, the 13th gateway, this guy follows our stuff. And he said, the depleted uranium bullets in my gun are no longer depleted uranium. They have become just plain lead. And he said, there is nothing I've ever done to them. Just, it's gone.
Well, we got to get rid of the lead, too.
Right. But I'm
crystalline light coming out of there.
I'm just saying, miracles are afoot. I passed the talk.
Well, when they turn to water, then I'll be happy.
Okay.
We're all ready.
Sri Sri shoots his devotees with water guns.
Ah, very good.
That's a good image. I like that.
I think we may have another caller waiting. Chandra Das, is that okay?
Oh, yes, it's very good. The other thing I wanted to touch on really quickly is that the reason I'm so intent on meditation, because I know I look back to the self, and you don't want to blame yourself, but I also want to take 100% responsibility for everything. I mean, we all have to take responsibility to the extent where you say, what part of me is a Nazi? What part of me is manufacturing, you know, these toxic chemicals or whatever, and, you know, and to forgive ourselves for all that, and just, you know, do the ho'oponopono
right,
as much as we can. So
that's right.
Peace, love, and whole food. I'll let you go. I pass the talking stick.
Peace, Chandra Das. Thank you for all the blessings you share.
My pleasure.
Hi, Deja. Are you still there waiting on line two?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
I went to see Avatar for a second time last Sunday, and I just cried the whole entire movie. It's so beautiful. And there's just something really simple that I want to share that, for me, I resonate with as to how I define, how I'm understanding myself as Avatar. There's a song at the very end where the credits are playing, and it's called I See You. But then over and over, it repeats, I see me through your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the experience I'm having with discovering my avatar within myself. To see myself multidimensional is to see myself through your eyes. And it's kind of what everybody's saying, just in a very simple way. And it's just bringing me a lot of clarity and new experience in trusting at a different level. And I just wanted to have you clarify that and see how you feel about that.
Sure. Before I do that, I want to ask you, do you have an example of how you experienced that today?
Today. Not necessarily today, but a few other times, yes. I will see things through my third eye that I know I'm being shown, and it will be a different, it won't look like me, but I know it's a part of who I am. And it directs me as to what I'm to do next, or it allows me to see things that I wouldn't see through my eyes in this body, in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like integrating our senses, integrating my senses, and showing me that say, for instance, the way I understood having previous lifetimes, I thought they were my ancestors or my guides. I now understand that that's all a part of who I am, and that is what makes up the subtotal of my avatar. And I'm learning that as I go along, that more will be revealed to me.
That's right. That's your galactic heritage.
Right. And that's my avatar. That's my question. Is that correct?
That is correct. Very good. Yes.
Okay, good.
I can share a little more of my story about my perception of that. Rama was saying before, he is Palladian, Pleiadian, and I experience my heritage as Syrian, as one of my aspects is Syrian. And so I know what I look like in my body as a Syrian, and I can remember that. And I can also remember that I'm a Peshat, and I have this Peshat body, and I have this angelic body. One of the things from the movie, you know, I'm using the word avatar as more of a cliche, as Rama said, than the true definition. But it's not really, to me, they're both the same.
Correct.
Yeah, and in the movie, they were riding on the Banshee. They would have to win their Banshee.
Right.
And Mark and I one time went into meditation, and we met this Pegasus. And Mother Sekhmet told us the name of the Pegasus was Arendal. And we found out that when we allowed ourselves to get on the back of Arendal and fly up through the dimensions, that Pegasus could fly us higher out of body by having us riding on its back than us going out of body on our own. And when we allowed that experience, then that was when we were able to go up to the higher dimensions. And I hadn't even imagined us going up that high before. We started out on the 22nd, and we went to the 44th, and we went higher and higher. We went to the 172nd, and I kept saying, we went one night after the next for a time into the higher dimensions, and we had different experiences, and we wrote them all down and shared them. And back then, it was a wonder for me to be saying, you know, on that last night, well, I want to go to the 352nd dimension tonight. And the energies that would pour into our bodies when we were doing these out-of-body travels was so tremendous, and we were enthralled when we could bring back a story to tell, because it was a job to hold the energy and also see and also remember. That's how high the energy was, and we were amazed that we could do it. And when we got up to the 352nd dimension, I will never forget it, because this hand went up, and this hand was waving, and it was kind of, there's a lot of light up there. It's very light there. And so it's almost when you're flying in a plane above the cloud cover and the sun is out and it's bright sunlight on these white, white clouds. It's very bright up there. And I saw this hand go up and it was waving. And I thought, that's odd. And I looked again and it was Sri 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 Swami Purna. And he was saying, I see you. Come here. I want to talk to you. It was so excellent. And so he did.
Yeah.
He spoke to us, and we wrote it all down, and we shared it, and some people said, you two are out of your minds, and we just shrugged, and we went, okay, okay.
You know, two things you said about allowing and trusting, that's what I'm finding. I have a new definition for, a new level of trust and allowing. Instead of me putting limitations on how I think something should feel or see, or, you know, just to let go. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm having these experiences. And a lot of it really has been instrumental through coming, you know, listening to the calls and going to the round table and reading. But then seeing the movie, oh, mm-hmm. I felt like I came home. That's what I felt.
Too.
So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Deja. I agree. That movie just was such a gift, because it was so heart-opening that someone else in the world noticed it, too.
Right. Okay, thank you, and love you all. Good
thank
night.
You very much. I just want to do a continuation on that story I was telling. Every single time Mark and I would come back from one of our trips in the higher dimensions, then we would both say, wow. But then, you know, 12 hours later, we were ready to go again. And every single time we went again, we did something more than we did the time before. And after we saw Swami Purna up on the higher dimensions, then the next night I came back to Mark and I said, you know, remember, Metatron has his ashram up on the 352nd dimension. Maybe we should go there tonight. And so we would. We would go out and we would, you know, we would read about these things in books, and we would take that into meditation, and we would challenge each other to come up with who could come up with the best idea of what we should do next. And so really there's no limit on that. It's too exciting. And so I encourage everyone to use your imagination and go out there and see what you can see. And like Deja was saying, drop the old ideas of what may be. That's what I treasure so much in Mark. He always, I would have limiting thoughts every single day, and he would blow my mind every single day and say, that's not true. Let's go see what is there. And I would say, okay. And then we'd go there and we'd go see and we'd write it down, and we just kept doing that. And that has led us to this moment. So it's really exciting because we know that all of us are returning to this now. And it's a lot of fun, and the whole point of it is for it to be more fun. That's my thought on it. I don't know if Tar and Rama, if you have anything to add to that.
No, you summed it up. I got to see the picture of the Stargate over the Gulf of Aden, and I'll say I concur, that is for real.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
King of Swords came through, and he just, it popped on a website, and I went, wow, thank you. Yeah, that's one of the greatest gifts of talking about the real news and showing how we're not seeing, you know, what's out there. They're not telling us, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say this is why all the ships are so concerned. And why is it that Somalia doesn't have a government, but it is like a lawless land, but yet there's all these different factions playing games there, and the people of Somalia are literally, they are getting help from the ships and from the folks, and all these stories will be told, and there won't be any more quote-unquote pirates. I passed the talking stick.
Yeah, Rama, if you don't mind me asking, I was, you know, scanning the news, and so about the 3rd of January, something like that, I don't know exactly, I went to Google and I wrote Navy warships, Gulf of Aden, and I pulled up maybe 8 articles, and they were all saying that there were pirates on these different ships, and one was from Spain, and one was from Kuwait, and one was from Japan, and they were all different ships, and I thought, that is just bizarre. So what is the true story with that?
A lot of this, the Somali people are literally being starved to death and being invaded by different groups across the planet, different governments, because Somalia basically doesn't have a government. It's a lawless land. And in a sense, the UN is not really helping them. And there's all these different non-governmental organizations that want to help, but yet at the same time, they got to go through all kinds of diplomatic channels to try to get over there. Just like George Galloway right now is trying to help the people of Gaza going through Egypt and these peace marches that Medea Benjamin are part of, yet they are met by the Egyptian police who, you know, President Mubarak, just like Jordan, just like Saudi Arabia, all these other countries, they co-conspire with the empire over here, and they torture, they abuse, and they kill people, mostly civilians. And it has to do with the different pieces of the story that's not being told. Why is Somalia a lawless land? It has to do with the fact that there are things there the Chinese want, the U.S. wants, Russia, other countries. And the thing they really want is to try to figure out how to control this Stargate, which they can't. And they are going to have to comply with the laws of the universe. And I would say very soon now, this gate will be closing. And let's just say everybody is going to get a wake-up call as the gate closes and these folks land. And they explain how the bear sleeps in the woods. I pass the talking stick.
Thank you. It's been a few days since we've talked about the news, and I never got to ask you about on January 4th, Van Rompuy took his new place as the EU president, and there's this kind of belligerent photo of him in the newspapers, and he's showing up for the work the first day, and he changed the old tradition of calling a financial meeting, and he said, no, we won't wait till spring. We're going to have one in 30 days from now, as fast as we can. So I haven't had a chance to hear you mention anything about that and this new president and what's going on with all that.
I would just say this has to do with the amping up of the ante, so to speak, and the higher frequencies where the world is in a much dire situation that anybody's talking about, and all the EU, they have to comply with what is happening at a higher level where we all need to move into the understanding of working with the new monetary systems that are the treasury banking system based in precious metals rather than the phantom economy, which is still being laid out in lavender by the economic terrorists of Wall Street, who soon won't be there. And there was a guy that was on Amy this morning who's an activist, and he talked about all these different issues that have to do with behind the scenes, how the U.S. is the most prolific provider of weapons of mass destruction. And why are we doing this rather than trying to explore our own oceans or getting in touch with our galactic friends rather than using millions, trillions, quintillions of dollars for war? And we know less about the bottom of our oceans, which are closer to outer space, than we know about our own bodies. We don't know enough about our own brains, literally, that when anomalies show up, like autistic children who are geniuses that can play Mozart and Chopin and Bach and Beethoven, yet they are in a wheelchair and they can't talk, they can't walk. And why are these things going on? It's part of all of the pieces that we all have, and it's all coming full circle. As our friends land and explain these things to us, it will all become clear. Yet at the same time, these 13 families don't want that day to occur. And right now, you could say, we're on red alert. It's happening. And they have to stand down and let the chips fall, and they are falling right now. If you watch Rachel Meadows, every single day she is talking about C Street, K Street, Wall Street, all these families who play games with murder and death and mayhem and billions and trillions of dollars. And they consider that just fine to have sex with each other and go on with business as usual on Wall Street and still kill people and don't even think twice about going home, going to bed. And it's another day I passed the talking stick.
Thank you. Right. There was this newspaper article in Spiegel in Germany, in their newspaper there. There were these two attorneys that they found in a small Austrian town, mountain village, you know, just outside of South Germany. And they were carrying on them 202 million dollars in United States silver certificates. And they were, I laughed so hard, these poor guys were being charged with making Confederate bills, and I thought to myself, those aren't Confederate bills. Did you hear about that story?
No, I didn't. It sounds kind of interesting in the sense that if, you know, people are, you know, was it rainbow money? Interesting thought.
Well, if it's not rainbow bills, it's not going to be anymore. And maybe they found a seller or a buyer, and maybe they were trying to dump them. That was my thought.
C'est pas si blah.
They had photographs of these silver certificates, and they were in denominations of $1 million each. And they don't look fake to me. I'm not an expert, but... and
I don't know what to say.
I'm not commenting on it as in the fact that I'm interested in the particular story. I'm commenting on it because, you know, I get joy from going to the newspapers and looking up these news articles for people just to have something to think about from a different perspective. And, you know, they're not bringing us the news. It kind of drives me crazy. So I will type in, you know, show me the German news, show me the Chinese news, show me the Japanese news. And, you know, I find one or two things, you know, in these different papers. And I'm looking forward to the day when we're not having to hunt for these articles anymore, that the truth is out there.
Exactly. And that day is, I think, here.
That's good, because I might have to faint if it's not today.
Okay.
Apparently that's what I said earlier. I don't see that we have any more callers, and it's getting close to the top of the hour, and I'm wondering if we should wind it down.
I think so, because I'm fading fast. Our friend here needs to beam up as well.
Right, I understand. Thank you so much for being on the call with me.
Of course.
I had a lot of fun, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. So did we.
Good. And we'll be back at it tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
I look forward to it very much. Is there anything else you guys want to say or add or...
Uno momento.
Okay.
Rama, this is Maria. This is Marita.
Hi, Marita.
Did you want to remind people of your address and how, if they wish to send you something, how they can do that? We did speak about that earlier.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hang on here. My beloved is going to be showing up here in a second, but I'll just, here she is.
Oh, that's right. Michael is reminding us that we need to let everybody know there are people that maybe haven't heard us say this before. Please only send postal money orders only. No checks, nothing else, simply because we are not in the banking system, so it doesn't afford us an ability to do anything else with that money. And it needs to be in RAM, R-A-M, initial D as in David, Berkowitz. Now, there are some people that actually sent some cash flow to Mark, and that's completely unattainable right now at this moment. So anybody who did that, know that. And we need you to email us with your phone number. That would be the best way so that we could contact you. And, you know, you can go to the library or have someone help if you don't have a computer. And our email address is
Koran999@comcast.net. K-O-R-A-N. K-O-R-A-N. 999@comcast.net.
Okay, now that was one thing. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that going back to Swami Sri 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 Swami Purna Maharaj, he said about relationships, he said, like we've all been saying tonight, you must at this time become fully honest and disclose at the deepest level what your path is and your truth about it. And make a very, very honest decision about what you're going to do about it. And that means immediately. Because right now, all the juggling's going on and the repositionings and holding on to something that hasn't had full disclosure. Have you ever heard that term? Full disclosure at the deepest level.
Mm-hmm.
It must be that way right now for the sake of our children. We don't stay together to confuse children, but, you know, much less your own self in terms of your seeking out the highest good for everyone concerned. And that's the way you free the energies at this time and forgive everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then take the responsibility to, as the fool does, the fool knows when he jumps off the cliff, he is with his wings in flight, and that's all there is. And I pass the talking stick.
Perfect. That's right. I concur. Thank you so much. Did you guys get out all your information the way you wanted to, and do you have any other announcements?
Only that please come to the Galactic Roundtable tomorrow night, and we will continue passing the talking stick.
And Marita Roberts, do you have anything to say about tomorrow night's call? Are you there?
I am here. Yes, we invite everybody to Stargate Roundtable on Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can dial into it on BBS Radio, or you can come in on the phone, 218-486-8700, with PIN code of 8787 pound. So we thank all of you for being here tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
Thank you. I wanted to tell everybody that I had received some emails that the phone number was transposed. And I even had some very unhappy people who couldn't call in because they didn't know the phone number because it was transposed. And I was feeling grief over that. I wouldn't want anyone to suffer that way. And I didn't understand. And I checked everything that I was responsible for. And the numbers I had put out were correct. And finally, 2 weeks later today, someone emailed me and gave me a link to where the transposition was. And it was on the Welcome the Light website. And it took 2 weeks for someone to point it out to me. I didn't look there. So I'm sorry for anybody who that happened to you. And I will talk to Tony D. And it's just a simple typographical error, no big deal, but it confused a lot of people. So just remember, I keep the events section at Galactic Roundtable up to date. And you can look there for the phone numbers, and you may have to look the same day. And they haven't changed in a long time, so there's the same phone number, same time. But for all the new people in the events section, on the Galactic Roundtable. That's where that information is. And we're just thrilled to have you, and thank you for coming tonight, and we look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow night.
Thank you, Beth.
Sat Nam.
Sat Nam. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Beth.
Good night,
thank
all.
Thank you, everyone.